Hi, everybody. This is the Steve Barish Healing Hour. Thought I'd stop in for an hour and just start to help everybody that we possibly can with healings. And tonight we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Joy Jennings, and Joy has written a beautiful book called Beautiful Sadness. And she is all about hospice. She's one of the top people in the country, if not one of the major, major top players in terms of being able to help people cross over and to give them tremendous love and compassion and understanding that is out there today. The book basically is on love and compassion. It's done in a way that helps people cross over and live their lives a lot better. It's good for life and loss. What we're talking about is a book that is very well written. Its name is Beautiful Sadness, The Journey of Hope and Compassion Through Life and Loss. It is by Joy Jennings, and it can be found. It's called InYourFaceInc.com, and it can be ordered that way. And it's really a beautiful book. I read it, and it's quite interesting. It's all about grief and dying, and also about living. It's a book that can be read very easily. There's nothing hard about it. Joyce has been a registered nurse for the past 35 years. She has a tremendous amount of knowledge. She is also a kinesiologist, and may I say, everything I know about energy, this young lady does know, and she's absolutely fabulous with energy. She is an intuitive. She does everything that I do, and she's just magnificent. So I would like to introduce her. Again, this is Joy Jennings. Hello, Joy.
Hey there, Steve. It's so wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for that great introduction.
Well, thank you. That's your pen name, actually. And I've known Joy for many, many years. We've worked together many, many times. I think what people need to know is what does the book entail? What is the most important thing I can do to help my loved one now that he or she is dying? What is it that we could do?
Well, Steve, that's a wonderful question that everyone confronts, because there are few challenges in life that are harder or precipitate more soul searching than knowing that someone you love or you yourself have a fatal illness and are facing death.
Right.
The fact that life, as you know it, always precious, is suddenly becoming more precious than ever, offers a great deal of challenge and contrast. And truthfully, the most important thing that people receive is having people around them who care, who make them know that they care about them, who are there for them in support and love. That doesn't mean doing everything for them every minute, but holding the energy of hope and compassion and love right there for them. I actually feel that when we are present with people, it's almost like we surround them with a bowl of energy that they can just kind of sit in. And as they're going through the process of working through whatever is coming through their illness and the facing of what am I going to make it, am I not, it's there for them to draw from. And
right.
Again and again, I see that genuine kindness and caring actually has the capacity to move the mountain and help people become far more in their time of trial and tribulation than they might ever have dreamed they could be. So the most significant thing is knowing that you really care about another person.
Yes, that's absolutely wonderful. I'd like to give some background. Do we have a phone call? Hello? Yes. Hello?
Can you hear me? There's an echo.
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, this is Steve Barish. Can I help you?
Yeah, I heard at the top of the hour, Steve, that, and I know I'm a big fan, and I
yes.
know you do really beautiful energy work.
Thank you so much.
My ex-husband had molested my son, and I just talked to the assistant DA who was assigned to the case, and she's prepared to drop the case because my son has special needs.
Right.
And I'm afraid I got really angry with her. And so I need some healing energy and mojo sent toward the situation, but also maybe sent specifically to her because she's going to be the one that's going to champion my case.
Okay. Well, let's send you some love and light. You should feel your heart opening right now. How does that feel? Can you feel that, dear?
Feels beautiful, Steve.
Thank you, sweetheart. What we're going to do is send white light down from heaven. It's about a foot and a half in front of you. If you just want to take your hand and put your hand in there, you'll feel tremendous energy.
I feel it.
That's it. Good, honey. I need you to step into that light, dear. That's
okay.
It. Wonderful. How does that feel?
Beautiful.
We're sending love and light into the white light with you. We're healing your son. We're sending him love, tremendous love.
Let's put the assistant DA in there, too, because I need her to understand that I think he's got a shot, that we should go forward with the case.
Yeah.
There's no other way for me to keep my son safe, because everybody believes.
Yeah, what we're doing is putting tremendous light around him.
Good. Thanks.
We're putting tremendous, tremendous white light around him. I'm so sorry that this happened.
Well, I believe that it's brought up for healing, and it's the divine right time. Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's a healing opportunity for her as well. And I believe in reincarnation.
Yes.
And I believe that
right.
all of us are doing this now for a reason.
Right.
But
right.
I just can't figure out a way to keep him safe without proceeding with the case.
What we need to do is send him and the young lady who is doing the case a lot of beautiful light.
Yes.
Her
name is Angel, but she didn't act like an angel the other day.
I think she's just really stressed out. She's got a lot on her mind.
Yep.
I think what she needs to do, you need to give her a call back. I think what happened is that she's overwhelmed. Usually these caseworkers and different things are so overwhelmed with so many different cases that she might have been upset about something.
Yes.
So what we're doing is sending her a lot of light. Isn't that correct, Joy?
Yes, I think that's absolutely correct. It's awfully important when we're under stresses like this to hold the positive picture that it can help. And sending light and love to all the people involved and understanding that if you have darkness and you turn a light on, the light wins over the darkness, helps us to feel more empowered when we keep sending the light and there doesn't seem like everything is a clear-cut answer of being the way we want it. We still are empowering the situation in ourselves far beyond what we could if we keep sending light, keep sending love, keep blessing the God within other people, because even if someone is acting in a dangerous way, there's a bit of God in them, and if we can send love to that God part of them and light, it can help strengthen the situation to a positive turn.
What
absolutely,
we're doing,
I believe that, Joy.
Yes, absolutely. What we're doing is that if you feel the energy under your feet, can you feel that, dear?
Yes.
Okay. Can you see energy at all? Are you available or are you able to see pure energy?
Sometimes I see it, but no, usually not.
Okay.
Sometimes, but usually not.
Okay. There is a light from heaven going down to light from the center of the earth that is making a connection for you now. That energy is coming back up to the center of the planet, which means it's right on the ground. You
yes.
should feel a lot of energy on the ground.
Okay.
You should feel very, very balanced and grounded. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay, good. I think that'll help you tremendously. That'll help everybody involved. That'll help balance out your son's energy and also the young lady who's taking care of the case.
Yes. Thank you so much, Steve. Thanks, Joy.
Oh, you're quite welcome, honey. Don't hesitate to call me. Let me know how things are.
I will. Have a blessed day, guys.
Thank you so much.
Good luck now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you so much for calling. God bless.
There's tears in my eyes. You guys, it's so beautiful. The energy's so beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, honey. God bless you. Use it well.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Joy, let's get back to the journey that we're taking right now with your wonderful book. Some other things that that I'd like to bring up. There's so much pain. What could I possibly hope to do about that? In other words, if somebody's lying in bed and they're dealing with so much anger and frustration, they know that they're dying, what is it that we can do to help them?
Well, Steve, that's a wonderful question because invariably those of us visiting feel helpless and we feel like, what could I do? What simple things could I say that would make mm-hmm. any difference to move mm-hmm. all of this? But there are important things that we can offer. Just taking someone's hand or lightly stroking their arm. I don't recommend grabbing onto them if they are touch sensitive, but to know that you're there holding and sharing the pain is more important than people can immediately see and point to.
Right.
I need to point out the role hope plays for someone who is ill and dying. First, when we're sick, we have to hope it won't be serious, and then when we find out it's serious, we have to hope it can be easily fixed.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen, then we hope for a cure. When all of those are exhausted, then we have to hope that something good will happen every day that will help us get through it, or hope that we'll have the strength. But I believe there's one more hope that really sustains people, and that is mm-hmm. knowing that you've made a difference in the life of the people that you are leaving. So we really feed the hope of people and help their pain at the deepest level when we let them know, I'm never going to forget that wonderful time we had, or do you know you changed my life when you did such and such or said such and such, and I am
right.
never going to forget our time together. That
right.
does so much more to ease the pain than it sounds on the surface like it could do, because it keeps people realizing that they can hope they've made a difference for other people. Now, don't make that up, but if
yeah.
you've really had good times with them and you can remember a particular moment where you just had a wonderful time, or do you remember when we had that family reunion and we all laughed so hard, or something that's real and genuine that refocuses mm-hmm. person on the meaning they've had for people, that does a lot to help with the pain. And the physical pain is always helped when the emotional pain and the spiritual pain of the person is also sustained and supported.
Right.
So knowing that you've made a difference and having happy memories rebrought into focus for you to concentrate on does far more for you than it could possibly seem it could mean. And the person sitting there holding the hand has that wonderful opportunity. I'd like to point out, too, that people that are very sick and about mm-hmm. to die seem to read our minds. They can read our
right.
thoughts and know. So if you're just thinking about the times you had together and sending them pictures as you're saying it, you know, you have pictures in your mind that are memories. You say, I'll never forget that wonderful time we had. It's almost like they can pick
right.
it up.
Right, right.
So sometimes just even sending the messages, you just don't know how much you mean to me. I will never forget you in your mind, as well as saying it out loud, is incredibly supportive.
Yes, yes. We're talking this evening to Joy Jennings. She wrote a beautiful book called Beautiful Sadness. It's The Journey and Compassion Through Life and Loss, and it can be purchased, not a problem at all. It can be purchased at inyourface.com. It's a wonderful book. I've read it. It has so much in it that is so much filled with love and compassion. And so what I would like to do this evening is to talk about Joyce. Joyce, you went to University of Rochester, and
yes,
you have Yes, go ahead, dear. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, before you do that, if I may interrupt, Steve, let me just spell out the website for you. It's for all you readers who have pen and paper there. It's www.inyourfaceinc.com, and that is spelled all one word, INYOURFACEINK.com. That's ink like with a pen, ink.
Right.
And now we can go back to your question, Steve.
Okay.
I am a graduate of the University of Rochester School of Nursing and have done quite a few kinds of nursing in my career as a nurse in my more than 35 years of working. Mm-hmm. And I think the important thing that all nurses have to do as we're quickly exposed to what it's like for people to be facing the crisis of, am I going to live, am I going to die? And from a very early point in your nursing career, you do end up dealing with families who are there facing death, seeing patients die, and you're there to help support people. It became really apparent to me that that was something that I felt particularly called to do. But it was even more so brought home to me after I lost my brother, father, and mother many years ago in 17 months.
Right.
And then 2 days before my mother, who was the third one, died, my mother-in-law we found on the floor, and I actually took care of her for 7 years, very ill. Mm-hmm. It became very apparent to me how significant it is to have the help around you once you experience it. And that kind of experience brings you to a new level of understanding of how you can help others. So that is one of the things that those of you who are facing the loss of people you love have to offer in the future for others. There's just nothing that speaks more than having been there, and you can offer incredible strength to others in the future because you do have knowledge of how significant that is and how important it is to receive the hug and the helping word and kindness and the availability of somebody there that cares.
Yes, yes. I find it, the book, very compassionate in terms of its reading and also extremely well done. It leads me to believe that, excuse me, you've done some beautiful work in the book. What I'd like to do is give a reader review on some of the people who have written in and talked about the book. It says, I am in awe of how beautiful the book is. Although there was sadness, it was healing at the same time. Another one is, hearing about people's near-death experience was a beautiful way for me to come to terms with fears I have around my own death. And I think that's very interesting. I think people that are thinking about death of a loved one, that brings up their own death. Have you had experiences with that?
Oh, absolutely. For one thing, Steve, we are all one. And when we help another, we are really helping ourselves because the fears and the feelings of frightened, not knowing what to happen, the can I expect something good or is it going to be terrible, all of the ups and downs that go with being very ill are really something that we're all thinking as we're dealing with this. I wonder how I would deal with that. I wonder what I would do. What if this happens to me? Not only when we love someone are we feeling part of their pain, but we are truly all one in the world.
Yeah.
And so as other people experience their hardships, it is on some level impacting our own energy. The thing is that compassion is an important thing to understand. Many people pity others, and pity and sympathy are actually weakening energies. If somebody looks at you with pity and sympathy, they're actually sending a weak energy. A step up from that is to feel empathy, to feel like what it could feel like if it was for you, which is a positive energy. But compassion allows us to feel the sorrow and consciously turn the sadness we know into something that has caring and meaning. And I should mention what sorrow is. Sorrow is a word that's used loosely in our vocabulary without people truly understanding what sorrow is. But sorrow is the sadness about all the things we can't do anything about.
Right.
And everyone has sorrow. It isn't necessarily about dying that we have sorrow. We can have sorrow because we lost our home, we lost our job, we had a friendship we valued tremendously and it's now gone for whatever reasons. And it can be because our retirement is no longer there, or we lost our house. It clearly is brought to real conscious awareness when we are dealing with a physical loss of people we care about. And when we allow ourselves to feel compassion, what we are really doing is helping to carry the part of the energy of loss of the person around us. We are actually sharing the load.
Yes.
Compassion means that we can feel what the other person is feeling, and it can, our courage can come forth as we help them, knowing that there is no substitute for someone else seeing that this hurts and understanding. That compassion actually strengthens people. It's not like you have to go in and fix it. We're all wishing we could just fix the problem when someone happens. Many of these things can't be fixed.
Yes.
But when people can feel that we understand this must be tough, and it comes as simply as saying, yeah, this is really, really hard. And if you have not had that kind of loss, then it's a good idea not to say, I understand how you feel. If you have had that loss, then it does add to what you're saying. But you can always say to someone, you know, you just described how I always thought I would feel if I were facing the situation you are in. It must be really hard. And that is a compassionate, caring feeling that I've seen people gather strength as soon as they've heard that, because someone sees, understands, and shows they care.
You know, it's interesting. I'm reading some of the biography here, and it's so beautifully written. I'd like to read something if I can. Sorrow is the sadness about all the things we can do nothing about. The very sorrow can be the springboard for greater tenderness and compassion to enhance every aspect of our lives. It is a journey well worth taking. It is Joy Jennings' fondest hope. All who read these stories will find healing for their own lives. That alone will increase the beauty which is entwined in sadness. And there was a part of the reader's review here from Shirley in Maine. It says, I felt like you were talking to me in our very own private conversation. So some of these people have a tremendous amount of pain, and this book seems to be helping them tremendously. And thank you so much for writing a book that's...
Oh, you are so welcome. It's been my pleasure to do it, and it was my fondest goal when I was writing the book that people would feel we were sitting in conversation. I have worked to bring people, the reader, into the room, which many readers tell me, I feel like I'm right there with you, facing the situation and watching what's happening. That was what I wanted to... Stories are all written, each chapter is an individual story, with three voices, the voice of the patient, the voice of the caregivers, and the voice of Joy, the nurse. And I've used my thoughts so that people can see what's going on, because no one dies in a vacuum. We are all interrelated when we're with people.
Yeah.
Therefore, what we are thinking is also important, and our minds are always going all the time when we're in this, like, maybe saying, what are we, what can I do, what can I say? And I wanted people to see that even nurses that go there are using their mind and weighing the potentials. But the book really came about because I wanted to show many things, including that there can be beauty in and with all the sadness. The term, the title, Beautiful Sadness, came about because yes, there's sadness and there's poignancy, but in amongst it there's an incredible amount of tenderness and beauty and joy in the good moments that where you connect at such a deep level with the person, where you remember things, and to just understand the beauty together that you experience when you're there for another. The term beautiful sadness sounds like a misnomer, but it's truly one of the gifts that working with the dying gives us. I frequently tell people never does death come to us without a gift for us in its hand.
Yes.
But we have to really work to find the gift many times because it isn't immediately obvious when we're losing someone we love. But a lot of the gift that comes to us is underscored by the fact that there's beauty entwined with the sadness. And that beauty has the ability to lift both the person going and we the one staying behind up to a different level as we face in sadness.
Let me give out the worldwide phone number here in case more people would like to call. It's 1-888-815-9756. And if you call in, you'll come directly on the phone. You can talk to Joy Jennings or myself. Joy is a very capable healer, and she would love to help you and talk to you about beautiful sadness. If you have somebody that is passing over or very sick, or you want to find out information on what to do or how to get in touch with people, I know that Joy would be more than happy to help you. So again, that phone number is 1-888-815-9756. Don't hesitate to call. We're more than happy to help you as much as we possibly can. In the book, there are a lot of sections in here dealing, the most important thing that I read in the book for me is that the people are told the truth. There's nothing hidden. There's no hidden agenda. If they're really sick, you're going to tell them they're really sick. That's the best way to handle that, I believe. At least.
Well, I think that is important that we be honest. The thing that's important to understand about honesty is gentle honesty always, not brutal honesty. And it isn't like I walk up to the bedside and say, listen, let's face the truth here. You have to do such and such. This is it. No, it's more when people say to me, nurse, I think I'm dying. I don't say, oh, nonsense, you're going to be fine, or something that doesn't serve them. When people are free to be honest about how they're really feeling, this really sucks, nurse, I don't like this at all, and you can say to them honestly, I don't blame you for saying that. I can understand how you say that. Let's talk about what that can mean. And you can deal with them honestly. It takes away the need for the games. It takes away the need for the pretense. It takes away all that level of energy that it's expended on things that don't really help you do anything different. And I feel honesty with people is a way to honor and respect who they really are. I honor you and respect you enough that I'm here for you, and I'm not going to lie to you and make it harder.
Right.
Now, I do run into people who say, I was a visiting nurse for almost 14 years, and I would sometimes go into homes, they'd say, now look, my mother or my father, whoever, doesn't know they're dying, so I do not want you to talk about death, in which case you have to honor that. But then by and by, the patient is saying to me, listen, my family doesn't realize I'm dying, so let's not tell them because that might upset them. And obviously, we have everybody understanding that there's death about to happen and no one is facing it. I usually say to the patient, do you think maybe they're catching on? Do you think maybe you will help them not be so shocked if you can bring up the subject? Because, of course, I can't just go in and abruptly lay it all out and say, this is the way it is. That's can be cruel. It has to be honesty laced with caring and gentleness and some respect for the issues. And then generally the patient will say to somebody, you know, I think I'm dying and I want to talk about this. And that's what I urge them to do. And then all the while that's happening, I'm dealing with the people to say, look, I think he, she does realize they're dying, and maybe they're going to talk about it. We need to be prepared that when they do, that they want to discuss it. Generally, that will resolve the situation. But when it comes to honesty, honesty is a very important way to honor people, but we do need to honor the fact that people have gentle feelings easily hurt and brutalized if we are just too abrupt with the honesty. So taking the hand and saying, yeah, I think you're right, this is what's happening, and how do you feel about that? I know it's hard to hear, can soften the hard part of the honesty while leaving them connected with the strong core that the honest approach offers them.
You know, when you were here this afternoon, actually this morning, we were discussing about energies, and people need to know you and I have been into energy a long time, and we see a tremendous amount of things during when somebody is getting ready to pass over. And one thing that you were discussing with me this morning, and I've seen that through prayer, but I haven't seen it through people passing, was that when you are getting ready to pass, that they do have relatives, they do have angels, they do see things on the other side. So it's not that they're going alone. There's a lot of people in the room to guide them home. Can you say something about that?
Oh, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss that. Not everybody, when they're dying, is able to talk about what they're seeing, because some people are too sick or too debilitated to still talk. But there is a significant proportion of people who, when they are dying, still do have the ability to verbalize. And when they know that the nurse or the people around them are open to who's there, then they will talk about who is in the room. And I remember a man who had come from Italy who was 85 years old. He'd come here when he was 18, and his best friend had come over to visit him periodically. He'd gone back. The best friend died at 35 from drowning, and when the man in America, the man died drowned in Italy. When the man was dying in America, there was his friend at the bedside in America, and he was so excited because here was his best friend. I have another man who is 96 years old whose mother came to get him, and he talked to her, talked about her. People see cherubs all over sometimes. Mm-hmm. I had a man who didn't speak English who became very exhilarated and excited, and I asked for translation. And they said, the room is full of cherubs. I've had families where, for instance, I had a family where there were 7 adult children, and the mother was seeing particular individuals in the room. There were 3 in particular placements. One daughter saw exactly what her mother described. She said, my mother is describing exactly what I see. And 2 of the other 7 children could feel the presences in those spots.
Yes.
And when I have patients who are willing to talk about this with me, they will say things like they're receiving messages. It's okay. You just have to let go. Don't worry. I'm right here with you. When you're ready to go, take my hand and I will guide you and help you. And they talk about loving presences that must be angels. They're just such beautiful presences. They talk about seeing a white light, a beautiful white light. And once they see the white light, I always understand that it may still be some time, even a couple, 3 weeks, but that death is nearer. And I remember one man who had lost his brother 49 years earlier in the war, when he was just a little boy, he himself was a little boy, and 2 months earlier, his son-in-law had been killed in a freak auto accident.
Yeah.
And suddenly the both of them were across the room, and he was talking about, and then they would just slowly, over time, get a little bit closer, and they would smile at him and eventually talked with him. And I find this a very, very exciting part of being a hospice nurse, and I find it a very refreshing and reassuring factor that so many people who didn't know each other, didn't get together and create some kind of story to perpetuate, experience such similar experiences, and those experiences, I think, offer us a great deal of hope that the moment doesn't have to be awful, but it's part of the beautiful sadness that we are facing.
You know, I'm reading a beautiful story here And I think I'd like to share that. It's on page 117. The gentleman's name is Mario, and the wife's name is Charlotte. And I'm going to read a section of it that is so beautiful. It's about the daughter saying, "Then today, while my mother said the rosary for him," which is Mario, "he reached over and took her hand and told her, 'I've been terrible to you, and I'm so sorry. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. I know I've been taking things out on you and been so unfair. I love you very much, and I want you to know that.' She cried for hours with joy that he had seen the truth. All these years, she never gave up trying to reach him." And I think these stories are so real and so compassionate that somebody would reach out to his wife in his last few days and say something so beautiful that would reach her, and it opened him up to be able to communicate with his wife even better. And you capture that so well.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, Steve, forgiveness is a very powerful thing. And back to your original question, what can we do for somebody who's in pain? The
right.
power forgiveness brings is just beyond being able to describe. Forgiveness is something that's difficult to do in our culture, because I think we get the feeling that if we forgive somebody for something, that they got away with it scot-free. That's actually not true. When we are connected with somebody through animosity or resentment or hatred or just plain abuse or whatever, and there's a great deal of that that goes on in the lives of many people, there is a negative energy cord between us. It's like a line. When we forgive somebody for not what they did, but for the why they did it, because sometimes what they did seems too much to forgive, but the why, that they didn't know better, that they may themselves have been abused, that they were distorted or are in this life, that they may even be mentally ill, or they may be mentally incapable of understanding another way, and we can forgive them the why that they didn't have a better life themselves. What we do is we do help ourselves. The other one may or may not be helped, but we do help ourselves because we remove that line of energy. And what happens when we forgive is we change the whole energy dynamic. So when you're with somebody who is dying and you're wondering what you can do, if there were hard times between you, it's a wonderful gift you can give the person, you know?
Yes.
We can't go through every part of this, but we had bad moments, and I want you to know I have no hard feelings, and I'm hoping that we can forgive each other because you mean more to me than those hard moments. That is incredibly powerful. What happened in the story that you are quoting from was that everyone visibly changed in front of my eyes. It was just a remarkable story where everyone showed what the power of forgiveness can do. And an hour after the man forgave the final person in the family, he died a beautiful, peaceful death.
Oh, yes, yes.
See, people, when they move into forgiveness, dying with a whole different energy, just dying with a whole different place of feeling around them. And I think it's one of the most important opportunities we have to truly make a difference for someone we love.
Right. It's so important. I think people need to realize that forgiveness and understanding is so beautiful. It's something that we really need to reach in our hearts and really bring out to our loved ones and make sure that they know that we love them all the time. I speak about that a lot during my program, and I talk about compassion every week. And the reason I do that is because we need to be more compassionate with our loved ones, our children, our wife, our husband. We need to be able to reach out and really work with them in terms of understanding what we need to do to make our world a better place in that moment.
And you know, it's wonderful, Steve, that you do that. I listen all the time to your show, so I do know that you are a very powerful voice for that. But I'd like to tie those two together. Compassion, when we get it, because we have understood more, and sorrow offers us the gift of deeper compassion and deeper gentleness and deeper ability to be kind.
Right.
Always be eventually used compassionate to yourself for when you didn't know what you know now. Many of us go through life kicking ourselves till we're black and blue, never happy because with ourselves because we recognize the number of times we blew opportunities or made terrible choices or made bad decisions or said and did unkind things. Compassion
yeah.
has to be used also towards yourself, that back then you didn't know what you know now, and you
yes.
did what you knew how to do then, just as you now will do what you know how to do in a different way.
Yes.
And along with that goes the ability to make a difference if you also can get around to forgiving yourself. I forgive myself for having been stupid, you may feel, or mean, or not in touch, or not caring enough, or for wasting the opportunity. It's very hard to forgive ourselves
yes.
and give compassion to ourselves. But it is the gift that we can get from getting deeper compassion from losing other people.
Yes.
It does help us to learn to do that, and ultimately we need to give the gift to ourselves.
Yeah, it's so important to do that. Love
and you know, Steve, that reminds me of something. How
yes.
would you feel if we invited all of our audience who are listening, anyone who's had a loss, to engage in a healing where you will bring down your column of energy? Probably everyone listening has something they feel sorrow for. Sorrow about
wonderful.
Having been abused, or sorrow about someone they've lost, or sorrow about the job, or life not working the way they want. We have an opportunity here for many people to move that sorrow. Would you be interested in
yes.
our working together on that?
I would be interested in doing that. We have about 14 to 15 million people listening. So I think what we're going to do is this. The people that are listening and want a healing, I'm going to ask the Lord to bring down those pillars of light to anybody that's listening. And that light is starting to come down now. I think Joy might have a few things to say.
All right.
Everybody...
And I invite you to just let go of anything that you wish to in the light, all of you listening.
Right.
Allow yourself to know there's a beautiful column of light, love, and peace in front of you. Allow yourself to touch the light and feel touched by the love and the light. Feel your own love and light. Let your own love and light join in the column of light. Join in the column of love. Join in the column of peace. Immerse yourself in love and light. Allow the energy to surround and soothe you. Enter the quiet that is beyond your own quiet. Still the flurry of your emotions, no matter how expansive or constrictive they may be. Still the flurry, yes, the flurry of negative emotions, and still the flurry of positive emotions. Quiet your emotions. Let them slip away. Slip away into the quietness of the light. Be still in the light. Be still in peace. Be still in love. Be still. In the stillness, let go of your hopes, descending or ascending. Let them slip away and rest in the stillness to be healed and strengthened. In the stillness of the moment, the stillness of light, and in the stillness of love, release the changes you imagine. Release the changes you desire. Release those you fear. Let it go. Let them go into the light. Let them drift into love, into light, into the peace. Let your sadness and sorrow slip away. Release it. Let go. Let it drift into the love. Allow your pain and loneliness to drift into the light. Release the hurt, the pain of loss. Release the anger to the light. Release them to the love. Release them to peace. Uncertainty will follow. Uncertainty will fall away. Let your uncertainty fall away. Let the uncertainty follow the changes you release into light, into love, into peace. In the quiet, as changes rest, as hopes and fears rest, and are healed in the light, uncertainty falls away. As sorrow, sadness, anger, and not feeling good enough slip into the quiet to heal, you enter a hush. In the hush of love, in the hush of light, you feel the presence of your soul. You may feel beautiful sadness or a soft joy. Perhaps you feel the hush of gentleness and tenderness. There could be a soft stir of compassion, or maybe the soft stir of trust. In the quiet, in the stillness, in the hush, you feel the presence of your soul and you feel a gentle rush. You can no longer stay in sadness and sorrow. You can no longer live a life that does not express who you truly are. Yes, in the quiet, allow the love, allow the light, allow the peace to flow into the places where sadness was once mired, into the places where fears and uncertainty resided. In the presence of your soul, allow the healing. You feel a sudden rush of courage. In the presence of the hush, open your heart to receive. Receive sparkles of hope. Receive new glimmers of change. Know you are loved. Know you are free, good, and true. Know you are enough. You are aligned with the light, aligned with the love, aligned with the peace. Open your heart and receive sparkles and glimmers of hope, of light, of love, of peace. Allow the healing and peace. Allow your sadness and sorrow to be lifted out of you. And you are lifted into the light and love beyond the sorrow, lifted out by your soul. Be quiet, be still, be hushed, be healed, be you. Allow the hope and light to glimmer and sparkle in a flurry of emotion from well-being to love. Buoyed by new hope and love and light, of new changes and healing, feeling healed and strengthened, lifted beyond uncertainty into quiet, hush. Listen, hear, be you, be healed with love, with light, with peace.
You have been listening to Beautiful Sadness, A Journey of Hope and Compassion Through Life and Loss. We're listening to Joy Jennings. You can order the book at www.inyourfaceinc.com. And we do have a caller. Hello? Oh. Hello? Well, I think we lost the caller. What we need to do basically is to ask some questions here that are mostly asked Oh, the caller hung up. Okay, right. I become tongue-tied when I try to call to talk to him, her, knowing he or she is dying. What can I do and say about that?
Well, I think one of the most powerful things to do is just to say, you know, I have no words to tell you how badly I feel. I really care. I saw a very powerful demonstration of this at a funeral once where I was sitting behind one of the grievers to support her in the loss of her father. There was a very successful salesman there that went around the room and knew everybody, very poised, very outgoing. When he came through the line, all of a sudden he was choked with tears and he just pointed at his neck and said, no words. And everybody that I was sitting behind, I just watched their backs all straighten and they all got stronger and I thought, wow, what did I just witness? And as I thought about it, I realized that when people see that we are so moved, we don't know what to say, it shows them we really care. So they feel the caring beyond the words. And mostly people dying don't know what to say either. They don't know the words either. So when you don't know what to say, you can just say, you know, I don't have any way to say it, but I really care, and I'm hurting. That is extraordinarily powerful. It doesn't take words more than that to impart the message.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. The caller that called in, if you would take the moment to give us a call back, we're willing to listen to you and try to help you the best that we can. If you would like to do that, that would be wonderful. Again, that phone number is on your website. I know that you can see that. Please give us a call back, and we're more than happy to help you. That's 1-888-815-9756. And Joy and I will be more than happy to help you.
Steve, while we're waiting for a caller, can I make one point? I hope one thing that we'll often say that will help people is that when we're experiencing loss, the pain of what we're feeling is not a measure of how well we are doing or how poorly we are doing. It is a measure of how much we care. So you can be doing very well with the loss of someone you love, but be in terrific pain. I didn't know that when I lost all my family. And I try to see to it that people understand if you're hurting, it is a sign of how much you care. It is not a sign of whether you're doing well or strong or weak. It's a sign of caring. Understand that caring and hurting are not synonymous. They go side by side. They are not symbols of each other.
Right. Very interesting. If there's an issue, you know, like with anger, and it's hard to visit, how do I handle the anger?
If this is the anger of the other person,
yes.
The most important thing we allow someone is that they have the right to whatever feelings they have. We don't know what the person is angry about. Perhaps they've had a tougher time in life with things than we ever knew. Something that happened to them so long ago that never got resolved. Many people have been beaten or traumatized or shut out or rejected as children, and when they're dying, the anger is there, never having been expressed in their life. Most important thing we can do is to love the person anyway, and if they're angry and they want to be angry and they say angry, hurtful things, to say, I accept that you're feeling angry right now, and I want you to know I'm here because I care, and just love them anyway. It can be difficult to do, but most importantly, it's to not think that maybe it's something I've done wrong that they're angry at me. If there's anger, it's generally something they're working very hard to try to resolve before they do pass over. And someone being there anyway has got the best chance for them to see that there's another way to feel.
Wonderful. Listen, we have about two more minutes left. You know what's fun for both of us is kinesiology, and I know that you're certified in it. Can you give a minute's worth of talk on that?
Sure. One of the things that you can do to help yourself if you are having energy losses of your own after someone has died, because it does take our energy down, is muscles will give us feedback and they can tell us what part of the body needs to be balanced. Muscles will act very honestly, and when you go to kinesiology, which is a muscle testing professional, sometimes it's chiropractor, sometimes it's nutritionist, sometimes it's kinesiology, touch for health, various other modalities, that can be a key to where your balance is off from the very important, significant, hard experience you've just gone through. And what it can do, because your muscles will show you what part of your body isn't working properly, is give you an assist getting back on your feet sooner by following what the practitioner guides you to do. So it can be a very important tool to helping yourself rebalance and come back to full health after you've gone through such a momentous occasion.
Okay, that's wonderful. We are just about out of time. What I would like to say is thank you so much for being on. Your wonderful book, Beautiful Sadness, The Journey of Hope and Compassion Through Life and Loss. You've been listening to Joy Jennings. You can order the book through www.inyourface.com. Joyce has been a friend of mine for about 20 years. She's just an absolute wonder in terms of a person. She's just a compassionate human being with tremendous love, and I want to thank you so much for being on my show and sharing all the love that you can give. So I really
thank you, Steve, and thank you so much for the opportunity to do it and for all the wonderful work you do to help so many people. It is a joy
thank
to be with you.
Thank you so much, Joyce. Well, it's time for us to sign off. Joyce, again, thank you so much. I will be here next week. This is the Steve Barish Healing Hour. I want to thank Dr. Fred Bell, Joy Jennings, and Mikkel, and Dr. So many other doctors I wanted to say hello to this evening, but we've run out of time. So anyhow, God bless. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.